God, we do thank you for the unspeakable gift you give us of receiving your love, of being called children of God. And as you say in the scriptures, that is just what we are as we put our faith and our trust in you. We thank you for this unspeakable gift, but that it doesn't just stop with us receiving love, us receiving grace, but that we get to be a part of the flow, the powerful flow of your grace in the world. And God, it's that for which we pray, especially today, especially in the midst of the challenges that we're facing as a church here or in our nation or in our world, especially in the midst of the challenges that our nation is facing and the other nations of the world. In the midst of all that, God, may the powerful flow of your grace be alive in us and through us to a needy world. Speak to us now as we look to your word. Make us alive to your good and gracious purpose. We pray in Jesus' name, amen. So I want to welcome you too. It really is a delight to be together, and thank you, team, for leading us in worship. Just such a gift to come together and celebrate the love of God. I've been meditating a lot, of course, the past week or two on this letter of Paul to the Philippians and this sermon series that we've entered into called Gritty Grace, discovering a strength, a power beyond our own. And the idea that this grace God offers us is not just like a paper flimsy ticket that we put in our pocket and we can hand to God on our way into heaven when it all comes to an end here, but it's this very power of God that we receive, that not only leads us to enter into eternal life in the future, but to enter into eternal life, the fullness of life, the fullness of God's purpose here and now. There's this powerful movement of God's grace that Paul is communicating in his letter to the Philippians, this power of grace that gives him the ability, as he'll say later on in this book, to be able to go through all the different circumstances of life, whether he's shipwrecked, whether he's hungry, or whether he has a lot, through all that, content and joyful, knowing that he can do all things through the one who strengthens him. And we hear in today's passage, here in chapter 1, verses 12 through 26, this kind of force of God's grace that's just so alive in Paul and that he can't contain. He wants to share with the world. It's reminded me of people I've met along the way. You've seen them, where the power of God's grace is just alive in them. It overflows through them. Glenn Wyberg, many of you remember him. He was a pastor here at Salem, just died a couple of years ago. I remember when I had first come here meeting with him, I actually wrote it down in my contact book about him. He shared with me these words. He said, "I don't think a day has gone by that I didn't wake up with a sense of wonder and excitement about the ministry that I was called and blessed to do." You know, he's just so alive to this call of God in his life, this ministry, that he could hardly contain himself. In fact, about 10 years later, when he was in his hospital bed about to die, and I went in to visit him, and he had no energy, hadn't gotten, you know, raised up at all, was quiet. I came in and leaned over his bed to say a few words to him, to pray for him. He grabbed hold of my hand, this dying man, and got up out of his seat, basically, leaning up, looking me in the face, and said, "Mark, it's been the greatest joy and privilege of my life to be able to be proclaiming the gospel, the grace of God to this world." I'm like, "Oh, amen to you, brother, amen." And then he just leaned back down. The power of the gospel, the grace of God, the privilege that is ours, to share this love of God with these children, with this world that desperately needs salvation, needs grace, needs hope. So I want to invite you to listen in as I read from Philippians chapter 1, this letter, this love letter of Paul to the Philippians, this man who has that kind of passion for the gospel. Listen in as he writes to his beloved friends in Philippi. I want you to know, beloved, that what has happened to me has actually helped to spread the gospel. Remember, he's in jail. So that it has become known throughout the whole imperial guard and to everyone else that my imprisonment is for Christ. And most of the brothers and sisters, having been made confident in the Lord by my imprisonment, dare to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. Some proclaim Christ from envy and rivalry, but others from goodwill. These proclaim Christ out of love, knowing that I've been put here for the defense of the gospel. The others proclaim Christ out of selfish ambition, not sincerely, but intending to increase my suffering in my imprisonment. What does it matter? Just this, that Christ is proclaimed in every way, whether out of false motives or true. And in that I rejoice. Yes, and I will continue to rejoice. For I know that through your prayers and the help of the Spirit of Jesus Christ, this will turn out for my deliverance. It is my eager expectation and hope that I will not be put to shame in any way, but that by my speaking with all boldness, Christ will be exalted now as always in my body, whether by life or by death. For to me, living is Christ and dying is gain. If I am to live in the flesh, that means fruitful labor for me, and I do not know which I prefer. I'm hard-pressed between the two. My desire is to depart and to be with Christ, for that is far better. But to remain in the flesh is more necessary for you. And since I'm convinced of this, I know that I will remain and continue with all of you for your progress and joy and faith, so that I may share abundantly in your boasting in Christ Jesus when I come to you again. Do you hear? Do you hear? Paul's passion for the gospel, his sense that the gospel's on the move, that it can't be stopped. He's in jail. The gospel's on the move. He's free. The gospel's on the move. He lives. The gospel's on the move. He dies. The gospel's on the move. Paul is fully confident in the grace of God, the power of God. It's been reminding me throughout the week of, you know, how magma works. The, you know, that force that comes up we've been reading about in the Philippines, how their volcanoes starting to erupt over there. And what's happening, of course, is that there's this magma that's moving up to the surface and through the surface, and it can't be stopped. I mean, that's just what magma does, right? It's in its nature to move to the surface. And so if it hits a dead end, you know, hard rock, it will just build up pressure. The bubbles will grow and it'll create a way because it's in its nature. Paul, it's just in his nature. Us, it's just in our nature. Having been made anew, as the scripture tells us, in Christ Jesus, it's in our nature for the grace of God to find a way to be on the move. Paul is completely confident in this. It makes me think of what we read in Romans chapter 8. You know, it's really something to think that for us, we hear these concepts and it's kind of encouraging. Like Paul says, Romans 8:28, we know that God works everything together for good for those who love God, for who are called according to his purpose. I mean, we believe that. We talk about that. But Paul, he really believes it. Come what may, he knows. I mean, he knows that God's working all things together for good. I mean, after all, he's been watching. He knows that Jesus died, hit the dead end, right? That's literally the dead end, and rose again. God made a way. He watched as the church in Jerusalem, where it all started, the disciples coming to faith in Jesus Christ, Paul proclaiming the gospel on Pentecost to thousands of people. They're coming to faith. It's all growing, and then persecution happens. And in fact, Paul's right at the head of that, making it happen. They're going to stop. It's a dead end for the church. It's a dead end for the gospel. Well, guess what happens? Those Christians have to leave Jerusalem, And remember what Jesus said? You'll be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in Judea and in Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Persecution itself is worked for good as God's gospel continues what the gospel does. And this is what Jesus is talking about, the kingdom of God. He says it's like yeast, right? You knead it into the dough. You can't even see what it's doing, but the bread starts to rise. It's like the sower, the farmer who sows the seed. He doesn't know how it happens, but he gets up in the morning and it's growing. The gospel, this is what the kingdom of God does. This is what the grace of God does. It's on the move. And Paul believes this. Paul has seen this, and he's confident. So I'm in jail there in Philippi, as we talked about last week. And he has the opportunity to lead the jailer to faith in Jesus, his whole household. Now he's in prison under the Romans. It's an opportunity, again, because whether I live or die, whether I'm in jail or not, the gospel's on the move. In fact, what's fascinating about these verses, this passage, is how Paul's responding to a concern of the Philippians. They've sent Epaphroditus, this servant, or this man in Philippi, to be a servant to Paul, to go encourage him while he's in jail. And they sent a financial gift. They're concerned for Paul. And a part of this concern is, how are you doing, Paul? And his answer, we read here, how am I doing? Well, the gospel's doing great. Oh, yeah, and by the way, I'm doing fine too, because whether I live or die, it's all a win for me. Does that make sense? How are you doing, Paul? The gospel is doing great. Now, this is the key for us. If this is what Paul talks about there in that passage in Romans a little bit later on, that come what may, we trust in the love of God. Paul trusts in the love of God. Who will separate us from the love of Christ? Will hardship or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? Any suggestions? What do you think can stop the gospel? Any suggestions? What could stop the grace of God? This powerful magma, this love, this passionate love of God that's moving into our world. No, in all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I'm convinced that neither death nor life, nor angels nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else at all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. The grace of God is on the move. How are you doing, Paul? The gospel is doing great. And so as we look at these verses in Philippians, as we think about Paul's teaching to the Philippians, four things I want to name for us to celebrate together, for us to hold on to together. The first one is that our hope is sure. Knowing that the gospel is doing great, come what may, we know that our hope is sure, that God's love will accomplish God's purpose. We do not fear. It's a win-win for us. Things go great for Salem Covenant Church. The gospel moves forward. We have challenges. The gospel moves forward. Here in our nation, we hit struggles, and the end's near. The gospel's going to work through that. God's grace is going to keep on the move. Our hope is sure. We're more than conquerors. Would you say that with me? We are more than conquerors through him who loved us. Our hope is sure. Our hope is sure. The second thing that we can name here is that our mission is clear. This is so evident in Paul's writing. You know, as a church, especially when the going gets tough in the church or in society around us, we get confused. We get caught up in all kinds of important things. And believe me, there are all kinds of important things in this world to get caught up in. But as the church, as witnesses to the gospel of Jesus Christ, our mission is this. It's to proclaim the good news of God's love to the world. It's to invite people into a life-giving relationship with God through Jesus Christ. It's to let people know that God loves them and is inviting them to enter into the fullness of life that he created them for. We have to stay clear with our mission. In the midst of all the distractions, the important things, that we are united in Christ and united in this mission, even as we wrestle with, struggle with all kinds of things. And the church has done this, by the way, for 2,000 years. It's not new. I mentioned at our semi-annual meeting a week and a half ago. Thank you to those of you here. It's great to hear the wonderful things that are happening in ministry. One of the things I mentioned was that for me, the metaphor I keep going back to when I think about the challenges of moving forward with ministry, of staying on mission in the midst of all the distractions and disagreements even, is that we know what our mission is. So like canoeing, when the wind and the waves are against you, you've got to know where you're headed. Because the wind, the waves are going to push you away from it. So you pick out a tree over there. You pick out a rock. You pick out something that you're heading toward. So when the wind takes you this way, you can go back this way. When the waves push you this way, you can go back this way. We don't get to go in a straight line in this difficult world. And in fact, when the wave's coming straight at you, it's not necessarily smart to do that. You might need to tack a little bit and hit the wave this way. But you remember, that's where we're headed. And for us as a church, we got to keep remembering, that's our goal. That's our aim. It's for all people to know the love of Christ, to experience it in their lives, to enter into this life that Christ has created them for. That all the rest, that'll fall into place over time by God's grace. But let's stay on mission. The third thing that we can learn from this is that God's love always makes a way, right? We're more than conquerors. It's persecution. God's love will work that for good. Jesus dies. Boy, God's love will use that for good. You face challenges in your life. God's love will find a way. We as a church face challenges. Yeah, God's love will find a way. We trust in God, right? And we trust that, like that magma moving up through the earth, God's love will make a way. Not just even find a way, but make a way when there is no way. And finally, we remember that there is always cause for rejoicing. You know, like that canoe making its way through the lake against the wind and the waves, what you do is you pick out a tree that's off to the side, and it may take you 5 hours, but you're like, oh, we made some progress. Yes. And for us to keep our eyes open, to notice, yeah, the challenges, yes, the waves, yes, the wind, but the progress that we're making. Yes, the blessings we're receiving, but the progress, most of all, that we're making for the sake of the gospel, where we see the grace of God flowing through our lives to one another, to our neighbors. I mean, that's what we're longing for. That's what we're looking for. That's what we're working for, is for God's grace to flow not just into us, but through us into the world. This is what our world desperately needs. And this is actually fullness of life for us. It's when that very power of God's grace is so alive in us that it cannot be contained, so that we, like Glenn Wyberg, will get up and say, it's the privilege of my entire life to be a part of this flow. And I got to tell you, I'm guessing that every one of you, when you've been a part of that flow, when you've been a part of blessing somebody else, when you've seen good coming to people of the Congo or to your neighbor next door, when you're a part of proclaiming God's gospel, that you've sensed that in yourself. Like, this is what I was created for. We were created for this. So I want to invite you. No, I want to challenge us, myself included, to do like Paul is saying the Philippians are starting to do, as they see Paul in prison, as they hear his story and how the gospel is moving forward, even through the challenges that he's facing, that by his imprisonment, they're gaining confidence. That as they think about this, they are daring, the scripture says, daring to speak the word with greater boldness and without fear. By the grace of God, especially in the face of the challenges of our lives and of our world, may we dare to proclaim the word of God's love with greater boldness than ever before and without fear. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we praise you for your love, your grace that makes a way, that has made a way into our hearts and into our lives. And even right now, I pray for those here who are struggling, who need an extra touch of your grace this morning, your encouragement. Bless them with that. And lead us all, Lord, not just to taste and see that the Lord is good, but to become a part of, increasingly, a part of the flow of your goodness, your grace into our world. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.